Welcome to Whiskey Cask, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie, and this is episode number 212 for August 9th, 2009. Coming up in a few minutes.
So far, we've found 390 clubs from 31 countries. We thought it would be nice if there would be a little bit more interaction between the clubs, so bring the clubs together as well. So we thought we could combine the both.
That's Tyun van Vel, one of the organizers of a unique whiskey festival coming up in a few weeks in Holland. Maltstock is bringing together whiskey clubs from around Europe for a weekend of camping and fun, all centered around whiskey. We'll get the details in a few minutes, and Chris Maben of La Maison du Whiskey in Paris will give us a preview of the upcoming Whiskey Life Paris at the end of September. First, though, let's look at the week's news. And we start with a sad note. Longtime Jack Daniel's master distiller Jimmy Bedford died Friday of an apparent heart attack at his farm in Lynchburg, Tennessee. He was 69 years old and retired last year after 20 years as master distiller and 40 years overall with Jack Daniel's. I had the chance to spend a few minutes talking with Jimmy at Whiskey Fest New York in November of 2007, just a few months before he retired.
Well, I grew up there in Lynchburg, about 2 miles from the distillery, and living on a farm, worked there during my high school and college days. And the last year I worked there, they said, would you like to come back and go to work here at Jack Daniel? I said, I think I would. So I worked a couple of years somewhere else, but in 1968, I went to work there full-time, working under Frank Bobo, who was the master distiller at that time. And I worked with him until he retired in 1988. So that's how I got my start.
What's it like working at the distillery on a day-to-day basis?
Well, it's changed a lot. You know, we've got a lot more tourists coming in, and my job has changed a lot. But people from all over the world want to come in, want to see you, want to talk with you and visit with you. And visitors, just an ordinary visitor, see you walking up and down the street, they want to come over and say hello to you as well. But again, it's a very unique place. And I'd just like to say this, that there's not a lot of people in the world that can grow up in a little small community the size of Lynchburg, less than 400 people, go back there and work all their life and make a decent living, you know, to support their family. So I'm lucky in that respect, too. But to be with Jack Daniel in a product that's sold around the world, I get a lot of satisfaction out of that.
At the end of our conversation, I asked him what he wanted his legacy to be.
Well, I would like to think that I had something to do with maybe pushing Jack Daniel into the markets around the world at where we are today in a successful way.
Again, retired Jack Daniel's master distiller Jimmy Bedford passed away Friday. He was 69. Only one new whiskey to report on this week. Four Roses has released details on the second edition of its Mariage Collection bourbons. Master distiller Jim Rutledge picked barrels from a 19-year-old batch and a 10-year-old batch. As he told us last October in episode 157, each batch is coated by its mash bill and yeast style, and he mixes the two batches together in a mariage, which is French for marriage. This year's release will be bottled at barrel strength and released in time for the Kentucky Bourbon Festival next month. McTeers held its latest auction of rare whiskeys this past Wednesday in Glasgow. The top bid went to a 50-year-old Macallan, which sold for £11,750, or $19,875, to an undisclosed collector in California. Nearly 600 different lots went on the auction block, including a 50-year-old Royal Bracla single malt that sold for £3,800, or $6,400, and a 1965 Ardbeg limited edition bottling that sold for £3,000, or just slightly more than $5,000. More layoffs in the Scotch whiskey business. White & Mackay plans to eliminate up to 100 jobs in Scotland. Company officials blame the recession and what they call the punitive legislative climate in the UK. The Scotsman reports the cuts are most likely to affect employees at the Invergordon Grain Distillery and the Grangemouth Bottling Plant. Glenmorangie has started construction on its new bottling plant. The new facility in Lothian will be a companion to the company's current plant in Broxburn and will allow for the expansion of Glenmorangie and Ardbeg production. The plant is scheduled to open next summer. In the What I'm Tasting department this week, I was down in Virginia on a college trip with the kids this past week and stopped in a state store for a quick look. found the ancient age 10-star bourbon from Buffalo Trace. Now, the 10-star is only 6 years old, and it's easy to confuse the 10-star label with the AAA 10-year-old bourbon. In fact, I did, until I remembered that the 10-year-old version is only sold in Kentucky. They're both great values, though. John Hansel of Malt Advocate gave the 10-year-old AAA his Best Buy of the Year award last year, and the 10-star is a bargain, too. I got a 1-liter bottle for just $12.50. It has a nice smoky taste with a belt of black pepper in the middle of the tongue that fades out to reveal a sweet finish with hints of dark chocolate and a slight touch of mint. It'd be great with barbecue or in an old-fashioned, and it's pretty good on its own, too. I'm scoring it an 81. Not a bad score at all, especially given the price. Last week I mentioned the 3 8-year-old Gordon and McPhail single malts being imported into the U.S. by Classic Wine Imports. Matt Chivian was kind enough to send me samples of all three from Tamdhu, Glenrothes, and Highland Park. All three were aged in sherry casks, and for the Glenrothes bottling, that keeps it pretty much in line with the distillery's own bottlings. This one still shows its youth with a slight pepperiness, but the distillery's own classic notes still show through, with a syrupy, thick sweetness that reveals dried apricots and a slight nuttiness. The Highland Park has less of the fire, though, but just as much of the sweetness. I also get notes of cinnamon and nutmeg. The Tamdhu is more interesting, largely because I haven't had as many chances to taste Tamdhus. The nose is dry and grassy with hints of herbs, and the taste starts off mild, then builds to a crescendo of spices and nuts. I also get a hint of smoked almonds and hazelnut. As for scores, I give the Glenrothes and Highland Park each an 83, and the Tamdhu an 84. It's just a touch more balanced than the other two, but all three are well worth drinking. Again, these are just my impressions, and as they say in the car ads, your mileage may vary. Now, the FedEx guy also delivered a sample of the Isle of Skye blended scotch this past week. I'll give you my impressions on the next episode. Time now for the calendar of events brought to you by Laphroaig. This coming weekend is Whiskey Fringe in Edinburgh, but if you don't already have a ticket, it's too late. Royal Mile Whiskies says the event is sold out. I mentioned the McTeers auction a few minutes ago. Bonhams in Edinburgh will have its own whiskey auction running from August 18th through the 21st. If you're in the New York area and feeling charitable, the Chautauqua Bon Vivant Charity Tasting is August 22nd and 23rd in Mayville, New York. And Binney's will hold a scotch tasting September 2nd at its store in Naperville, Illinois. Finally, if you're in the Philadelphia area, longtime WhiskeyCast listener Eric Ludwig teaches an introductory class on scotches at the Chester County Night School each fall. His class is set for September 22nd and 29th, and there's a link at the WhiskeyCast website to sign up. Of course, you'll find a complete calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig Porter Cask.
Hi there, my name's John Campbell, distillery manager at Laphroaig Distillery. Become a friend of Laphroaig. Claim your own square foot of Islay at laphroaig.com.
There's an unusual whiskey festival planned for the Netherlands the weekend of September 4th through the 6th. Maltstock is bringing together whiskey clubs from around Europe and possibly even farther than that. Tyun van Vel and Bob Wending have been working on the Maltstock idea for a couple of years now.
We go to a lot of festivals, 7-8 festivals every year, and over the last years you meet a lot of nice, good people at every festival, but you only meet each other very shortly, very briefly, just for a couple of minutes when you're on your way to your next dram. And we thought it was a nice idea to get the people together for a whole weekend, so there was more time to spend together. And the other aspect is there are a lot of whiskey clubs out there. So far we found 390 clubs from 31 countries. We thought it would be nice if there would be a little bit more interaction between the clubs, so bring the clubs together as well. So we thought we could combine the both. And it took us about 1 or 2 years, actually, to find a location that was suitable for what we were planning. So we found a location. It's actually very close by where we live. You tend to overlook those things. So now we've got a location, and a good friend from us from Germany, from a club over there, Thomas Heiss, he came up with the name, and that's when it all fell together. And, well, we've been working at it since last September, so exciting times, really looking forward to it.
How many clubs do you have coming to this?
At the moment, we have about 12 or 13 clubs coming. And there are a few more still thinking about it. So So this first edition will be, it will be pretty small. We think there will be about 100 people present, which isn't bad, actually, considering it's just the first time, and it's something completely different. I mean, it's a whole weekend. It's not something people are used to. And, of course, it does cost a little bit of money. It's not a commercial event, but we have to cover our costs. So for the whole weekend, it's a little bit of money. So we're hoping we can take this weekend as a base and then take it for to the next years and then see it growing and growing. And, well, maybe one day we'll get all 390 clubs together. That would be nice.
What all do you have planned for Maltstock Weekend?
Well, first of all, we were actually hoping not to plan too much. It was supposed to be a very relaxed weekend, because one of our goals was actually just to bring the people together and have some time together. But we got some nice things planned. We'll start on Friday afternoon, and in the evening we'll do a whiskey quiz, which will take most of the evening probably. We'll see which whiskey club and which individual has the best and the biggest whiskey trivia knowledge. And we got a lot of support from the industry. We got some very, very nice prizes to be won in that quiz, so that's good. And we also have some Dutch importers present who have all the really good independent bottlers. So the bottlers like Adelphi, Barry Bros, Daily Dram, Douglas Lane, Douar Rattray, and I'm probably leaving out a few. They will all be represented at Maltstock. And we also have some people from Scotland coming over. Jim McEwen from Buchladdie. He's flying in especially for Maltstock. We've got Stuart Nickerson from Glenglosser Distillery, who is actually coming home from his holiday in Africa straight to Maltstock. David Wilson from Glencadam Distillery is coming over for Maltstock. And we have Billy Walker from Benriach and Glendronach also coming over. And they will all do, well, some people tend to call it a masterclass or a tasting, but they will do a masterclass at Maltstock. So it's Saturday in the afternoon, we have all those masterclasses lined up. And then we have a big barbecue, and in the evening we have a big campsite. We can have a very big campfire. There's room for about 200 people to sit around the campfire. There probably will be a little bit of music. There's a stage, so we can put Jim McEwen on stage, and he probably talk all night. So lots of things to look forward to, actually.
And I imagine there will probably be a few drams passed around that night, too.
Yes, and in the afternoon, and maybe even already in the morning. So
and Sunday morning as well, too, right?
Sunday morning as well. Yeah, well, maybe Sunday morning is probably recuperating. And we'll have a nice Scottish breakfast. We'll have a Scottish breakfast on both mornings, actually. But on Sunday morning, it's sleeping out, having a good breakfast, saying goodbye to hopefully a lot of new friends, and until we meet again.
And you still have room for people to take part in this, too, right?
Yes, yes, we do. We do. We still got a few beds available at the location. And it's all on one location. So we eat there, we drink there, we sleep there, we talk to each other there. It's all on the one location. So that's something different. You don't have to go home at night. You just climb up the stairs, and there's your bed. It's a pretty basic accommodation. We've got small dorms with bunk beds. So far, well, we've got about... I think we got about 30, 40 left, so there's still some room for people to come to Maltstock, so please do.
And where is it located so that people can figure out their travel plans?
Well, I could say it's in Overasselt. It's a town road, but nobody's going to find that. It's real close to our hometown, and which is Nijmegen, which is pretty close to Arnhem, which is probably a bit better known in Holland and in the world, which is close located to the German border. It's very accessible by train, well, Nijmegen is, and then there's a bus to the location. There's a bus stop right at the front of the location. There are plenty of airports nearby, so it's pretty good, reachable also by car. And if people need directions, it's all on our website, www.maltstock.com. All directions is there. We've got a Google map there, so it should work.
And there's a link to the Maltstock website at the WhiskeyCast website. Now, one of my favorite weekends last year was the late September weekend I spent in Paris at Whiskey Live Paris. This year it's scheduled for September 26th through the 28th, and while I won't be making the trip this year, Chris Mabin of La Maison de Whiskey in Paris joins us on the phone with a preview. Last year's theme was sort of whiskey and tea and whiskey and food. What are you doing this year to make it different?
Absolutely. The last year was Whiskey Live Paris, the total experience. This year is, if anything, much more ambitious. It's Whiskey Live Multimedia, which was an idea which really came out from a project that we were approached to do with famous publishers in France called Flammarion. and they wanted to do a whiskey book, which is great. But more than that, they wanted to do an interactive whiskey book, which basically means that, you know, we write a fabulous book on whiskey and all the great distilleries of the world, but then we create a website behind it where we update on a monthly basis. We have videos, interviews of all the distilleries. Really, if you like, bringing the modern world of technology. I know you're a big fan of Twitter and Facebook. If you like, bringing that whole world of social networking and interaction into the world of whiskey. So once we had that idea, well, we thought, well, why don't we build the whole of Whiskey Live really around that? Why don't we make Whiskey Live this year a place where not only you taste a range of fantastic whiskies, you have wonderful events, but we look at all the ways of communicating around whiskey, and that's obviously all the modern things like, as I say, the technology. We joined forces with Hewlett-Packard, so we've got touch screens everywhere, interactive games, but also, if you like, the ways that they used to communicate about whiskey in the past. So we've got old films, old advertising campaigns, even old posters. So it really covers multimedia in terms of appreciating whiskey through every sense, even down to listening, down to taste, of course, but really covering everything, really, to do with the senses.
And going back to the whiskeys, I know that you have an interesting partnership this year with the guys down in Sydney at Whiskey Live Sydney this year.
We have. We actually had Doug on the phone about 10 minutes ago, and now we're working together very closely with him. We think it's a great opportunity for him down in Australia, and we're doing everything we can to help with our experience. And Doug will be at Whiskey Live, seeing how we do things, presenting some Australian whiskies, and I'm sure it will be a very fruitful relationship.
Now, what's different this year in terms of whiskies that will be presented, exhibitors, master classes? What else is different?
Well, it's as always, we try and bring as many new things in as possible. And I think we've probably got this year more new people and new things than ever before. So for the first time, we've got Glencadam, who, of course, have relaunched their range, Glenglassaugh, for the first time. The English Whiskey Company. People often rather turn their noses up at the idea that my good country folk of England could even produce a whiskey, but they've done it with the help of Ian Henderson from Exeter Lafroig. For the moment, it's not even yet a single malt. It's a two-year-old, but it's already very, very good. So they'll be presenting a range of their new spirits, really from the start up to their two-year-old. Then, of course, we'll have the launch of the new Kilhoman, which is very exciting. Their first whiskey, of course, the first Islay whiskey for, I don't know, you probably know better than me, about 128 years or something like that. And then we've got, for the first ever time, we've got an exclusive stand for Hibiki from Suntory, the relaunch of the Glengarry range, of course, Glendronach, which was bought last year by an organization with Billy Walker. So, of course, they've completely revitalized their range. And, of course, one of the stars of the show always is Nika. So we've got more stands than ever for them. So that's in terms of, if you like, the some of the new things in terms of whiskies people haven't tasted before. Events-wise, the Friday night, we've got a very exciting event called the Icons of Whiskey Dinner, which will be at the venue, at the Pavillon Gabriel. The idea of that really is to create a dinner which is not only centered around some of the most amazing whiskies that anyone's ever tasted, but if you like to focus on the real personalities of whiskey as well as just the whiskies themselves. So in the sort of the theme of multimedia, we'll be inviting all of the world's great collectors of whiskey, and hopefully showing films of their collections, but also having some of the great personalities from the distillery. So Bill Lumsden will be there. He'll be bringing along an exclusive cask for us to taste of Ardbeg. We'll be having The Glenfiddich 50 Rolled, which of course is already an iconic whiskey. A single cask that we've selected from Glendronach, the 1972. And an exclusive bottling from Kilhoman, which will be a single cask, which they're putting together exclusively for the evening. And it will only be available for the people who attend that evening and to buy during Whiskey Live. So that's quite special. And then on the Saturday night, we've got probably a bit less conventional. We're actually going down to the River Seine, and we've hired out a cruise boat on the River Seine, and that will be baptized the Nika boat. It's been taken over by Nika Japanese Whiskey for the night, and that'll be an evening of tasting, of cocktail exhibitions, of music, just really putting Nika Whiskey and showcasing the range in a very sort of fun and relaxed environment. So that's, they're the sort of, if you like, the two main events. Then in addition to that, upstairs at Whiskey Live Paris this year, if you like, that's where we've got all of the experiences going on, which is cocktails. There's four rooms which focus around the, linking in, if you like, with the book that we've done with Flammarion, focusing around the key areas of how you make whiskey, the difference of terroir, which will be hosted by Morrison Bowmore, and if you like, looking at the whole aspect of whiskey, but making it all the while educational and informative all the way through. So certainly no shortage of things to go and see.
Now, where can people find out more information?
Well, the easiest place is to go to our website, which is whiskeylive.fr, or they can visit the Maison de Whiskey website, which is just whiskey.fr. But all the program is available to read. You can buy tickets on whiskeylive.fr, and it's available, of course, in a French and, of course, in an English version.
And at the end of September is really an ideal time to visit Paris. It's not too hot, not too cool. It was perfect last year when I was there.
Well, indeed. And I hope you can find a last-minute way to come, Mark. But it's true they talk about Paris in the springtime. But no, I'm more of a fan of Paris in the autumn. It's a lovely time to see what's a beautiful city. Whiskey Live, of course, it's not just a one-day event. It goes on for 2 days. And you can actually buy a weekend package to make sure that you have enough time to get around, and of course to take advantage of the city at the same time. So no, it's increasingly we find that the people come to Whiskey Live are not just from France, but they're from certainly from all over Europe and increasingly the world.
And there's still time to get relatively inexpensive airfares to Paris for that weekend. If you're able to make the trip, I certainly recommend it. Finally, there's a party planned at Buffalo Trace Distillery in Frankfort, Kentucky this Friday night. Master Distiller Emeritus Elmer T. Lee turns 90 on Saturday. Of course, Elmer is one of only three living distillers with a bourbon named after him. Elmer was kind enough to share some of his stories with me a while back, and I'll share them with you on the next episode of Whiskey Cast. You'll find links, the calendar of events, my whiskey ratings, the Whiskey Cast store, and a complete archive of past episodes at the Whiskey Cast website. The address is www.whiskeycast.com. And my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com. I've been getting some good questions in the last couple of weeks, and it's about time to do another question and answer episode. So if you have a question about whiskey, now's the time to send it in, and I'll get an expert to answer it for you. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2009, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.